Hello and welcome to the Empowered Hormone Podcast, where we pull apart all those taboo topics, periods, parasites, poos, hormones and more. Let's question everything you've been taught about your body. I'm your host, Sheridan Decker, a gin-loving gut health nerd, passionate about debunking myths on birth control, period pain and IBS. If you struggle with bloating or your period is less than pretty, then join me as we chat about everything relating to gut and hormone health. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Empowered Hormone Podcast. Today I'm chatting to Jade all about training for your cycle and hormones.
Yes, so my name is Jade Lorray and my business is the Beautiful Body Society. So it's a little bit of a, well, basically it is an online and in-person, I guess, like fitness health studio. I guess the thing is that you don't have to stop exercising at all. And I think that's the number one thing. Is a couple of things that I have read is like, oh, don't exercise when you have your period. But then I also have a lot of women that say it actually helps with pain and things like that. So there's no reason to stop. And if you're like me, I love to exercise. It's just a part of my daily routine, whether it's, you know, walking or I am doing weights or Pilates or whatever, HIIT workout. But yeah, I guess it's more about the time that you train. So how long you train for, the intensity and the weight, and just basically changing up that depending on where you are in your cycle can have a lot have a lot more benefits on the stress levels in the body. And we have like our first half of the cycle, which, you know, like you, which is from say your just after your period. So if I say like day one to approximately day seven, you are bleeding. Yeah. And this time is, you know, like it's a sacred time, and it's a time that we actually don't, you know, we're always like in the mindset, oh, I've got my period, like it's so annoying. But it's actually not annoying. It's actually a thing to let your body know that you're actually, you're healthy female and you can reproduce. So periods are actually a really great sign that you are healthy. And what is common is like, you know, periods that are debilitating and they, you know, stop you from doing things, that is common, but it's not normal. And I think once we start to understand how we can exercise to get the stress levels down so you're not in such an inflammatory state when you get your period, then it can just make such a difference with your whole cycle, but also with actually having your period. So I guess during that stage, it's really important to listen to your body. Your hormones are at their lowest at that point as well, so you can be more stress reactive. So I have, through the research that I've done, is basically working on that lower intensity. You can still lift weights, but just be mindful of how you're feeling going into your workout. So, you know, if you have woken up and you're really exhausted, or maybe you got to the gym, you're sort of halfway through, listen to your body. Maybe you need to stop and eat and then go on with your workout, or maybe you do need to go home. And I sort of say to some of my clients is like, if you had a big like sort of gash on your arm that was bleeding, that you're in pain, like would you go to the gym? No. Yeah. So yeah, you know, you just have to be very mindful that yes, you are bleeding and you have your period, but maybe that's the time where you are just maybe doing trying something different. Maybe you're doing more of a gentle work. Maybe you're doing some weights, but you're just taking it a little bit slower. You're not lifting for your PB. You can still do, you say, your HIIT workout if that's what you like, but you're not pushing to the extreme. You know, you might be keeping it low impact. So yeah, I think where we can try and work with our stress levels during that stage, we are in a more of inflammatory state and stress reactive.
And I guess that would be those first 7 days. And then as you're going, I guess, into that next sort of stage and you're heading towards ovulation, you're starting to see those hormones pick up, aren't you? So you can,
yes. You know, so we're going, Yes. So we go into our estrogen, more of our estrogen dominant stage. And this is where you kind of, your mindset shifts so much. Like, I don't know, since my clients work with me, they're like, oh my God, after my period, I get so excited because yeah, I'm like, yeah, I've had that little break. And I'm like, yeah, yes, I've got like nearly 2 weeks now where I can just go and not have to worry about my stress levels. And estrogen does help you be more pain tolerant. So for sure, there you go. Yeah.
Hello and goodbye. Hello and goodbye. That is the end of season one. So it's been quite a journey, and today's just a short little wrap up. Hey, how you doing? Thanks for listening. Thanks for following along. Thanks for being a part of the journey. 2020 was a crazy year. 2021 was, well, she was even crazier. I launched a podcast. As you guys know, I've talked about that before when I get stressed or overwhelmed. And yeah, starting a podcast, launching a program, running a business, it is all stressful, but I do love it. But again, it's about finding balance, okay? So you need to support your gut health if you're going through a stressful time. And that means slowing down when you're eating. That means eating whole foods. That means focusing on nutrient density. Oh, we know how important that is for our gut microbiome. It also means supporting your hormones. So that might mean you need to take a few extra herbs or a few extra B vitamins just to calm your adrenal glands, to say, hey, it's okay. You don't need to smash out heaps of cortisol, because otherwise we know that progesterone, we get low progesterone, and then we get low mood and anxiety, and it's this continual combined effect. So my take home point for the end of this season is that life is crazy. It's hard. It's busy. Do not undervalue that. Don't say to yourself, I'm just not doing enough, or I'm just not being enough. Life is crazy and is hectic, but you can learn to work with that. There's some simple things that you can do from day to day, which sound really hard, but once you start doing them, things get easier. Okay. So meditating, taking a couple minutes each day to do the inner work, the breath work, the belly breathing, taking time to food prep and prepare yourself good meals. So when you're having a few busy days, you're not reaching for that, you know, homemade or pre-made chocolate bar or, you know, some processed bread. You've actually got some roast veggies on hand or a salad that you pre-made. That's a massive tick when you open the fridge and there's healthy food there. You're like, yes, go me, girl, I got this. So be prepared, give yourself time out. I also think that 2020 and 2021 has taught us the value of social connection. Don't underestimate how important that is in your life. And please give yourself time to reach out to those around you, to family, to friends. Value those relationships because they are so, so, so important. And we can see what happens when that's taken away from us, how isolated we can be, or how much our anxiety or depression kicks in, or our mental health suffers for it. So value them and give yourself time to spend with those you love as well.
Today, I had the privilege of speaking to Libby. Libby's a Sydney-based nutritionist, a personal trainer, and a CrossFit coach with over 10 years' experience working with females like me to achieve their fitness and nutrition goals.
I'm Libby Westcombe, and I've been in the industry for over 10 years now, but it did kind of start with that CrossFit aspect. So I obviously had done like my personal training and that certification, and I became a trainer, and then I got, when I met my partner, he was into CrossFit. So we got into it that way. And from there, I became a CrossFit coach. So it was kind of that natural progression. During CrossFit, I used to always eat rice, and the other girls would be like, whoa, it's carbs. Like literally they're smashing their bodies and they're scared of a little bowl of rice. Like, how sad is that? But that we can blame on the whatever started the whole attachment of paleo and CrossFit. Like, it's the worst diet for CrossFit, but So when I started seeing that, I was just like, okay, so why do I like carbs and I can eat carbs and it helps you feel better and perform better, but everyone else is like struggling with tiredness and fatigue and thyroid issues. So when I was doing my nutrition studies, and obviously you learn a lot about, you know, this is sports nutrition. So you learn a lot about the whole, you know, glycogen and the type of exercise that requires glycogen. And I was like, this is CrossFit, literally, to a T. And we're taking our carbs away. So that kind of just led me along. Like, it's funny, I found this Facebook status I wrote like probably 8 years ago. And I was like, why are you guys afraid of carbs? This and this and this. So I've been this carb promoter for ages. And now people are starting to catch on, like, you know, slowly, obviously, CrossFit athletes eat a lot of carbs now, which is great. But that kind of really led me into the working with females, and particularly females who I said have that energy discrepancy going on. So it might not be as severe as hypothalamic amenorrhea yet, but that's oftentimes like not everyone has that happen to them. And that's sometimes a like an end resort type thing. Whereas there's symptoms that someone's not fueling correctly leading up to that, or some women might just start like losing their hair and all that kind of stuff. So I was seeing this a lot with CrossFit women, and these aren't necessarily top athletes. These are just your average day-to-day girls that love to train, and it was sad. And they would come in and they would say they just got their blood work done and they're like hypothyroid. They started putting on fats, like even though they're smashing themselves, so obviously their whole entire metabolism slowed down. And that, like, so I'm just like, I'm super, super passionate about that. It's just been my, ever since then, like, even though I don't do CrossFit anymore, I'm so passionate about that. Yeah. So that's kind of what drives me every day with my work, is just helping.
Did you ever struggle with any of those things, or because you've been eating carbs most of your CrossFit, did you manage to avoid a lot of the burnout and stuff, or what happened with your body?
Yeah. So for me personally, I don't think I ever got to that point, but I often tell people I was unintentionally restricting, just didn't know how much I should be eating. I was extremely lean, like extremely lean without even trying. And that was literally just from the amount of CrossFit I was doing. I was super strong, like I had a lot of muscle and I was super strong, but I do think that I could have been a better CrossFitter and a better athlete if I had known what I know now. In so many different ways, but, you know, just particularly starting with food, you know, making sure that I'm eating just enough, because I feel like my calories at some point, some days when I was doing, you know, 5 a.m. starts, coaching CrossFit, training myself, coaching back in the evening, going to bed, just shoving something in my mouth to go to sleep because I was so exhausted. Surely like my calories would have been 1800 or probably even less some days. And that's ridiculous, right? For the amount of training. So I think in that way, that would have probably hindered me a little bit. It would never have got to that point where I find with women, the ones who are purposely restricting because of, you know, their weight or their size, they're the ones that get in danger of getting to that point where it's really damaging, because my body used to always, like, I used to feel exhausted sometimes and I would just know the next day I would be eating a lot more food, just intuitively almost, because I wasn't restricting though purposely. Yeah. So I think it kind of was that safeguard for me. But something that I did notice towards the end when I stopped doing CrossFit is I got psoriasis, which is like, you would know what it is. But it's, so it got like all through my hair, and just, obviously people say it's an autoimmune disease. To me, it's again, an energy discrepancy, energy deficiency disease. That's... like, you just, obviously your body's not performing well. Right.
Thank you for having me on. I like to promote complete skincare. It's not about just flooding your skin with one vitamin. You know, your body, it's like eating one food for the rest of your life. You're not going to get the nutrition that you need from it. Depending on what your skin is presenting is an indication of what's going on inside. So you should be treating what your body and your skin needs, not just firing on one product because it works for someone else or because it has a certain type of effect on the skin. Again, if someone's dealing with hormonal acne, they need to be addressing what's going on inside, because just pushing it down on the outside or making it all purge or whatever is not going to correct it. And as soon as you stop using tretinoin or the retinol or whatever, it's going to come back. So it's, people are trying to use these as a quick fix instead of healing what's going on inside.
Yeah, yeah, oh, 110%. I see that all the time. Or, you know, like even with DMK, which is amazing products, amazing skincare, and I used to use it. I don't at the moment, but I had great results for the year or so that I was on it. I still had clients who were using it and their skin texture and stuff was quite nice, but they were still breaking out and stuff because they still had all this internal gut and hormonal things going on. It just goes to show, like you said, like it's such a multifaceted approach.
100%. And that's why I think there needs to be more working with a skin therapist if you're or a nutritionist, or, you know, working with someone, with a professional of some sort who addresses those issues, not just dealing with someone who's like, bam, stick this cream on, bam, have this treatment done, out the door and away you go. Any of my clients will tell you, I stalk them. Like, I stalk my clients. Not in a bad way, but I'm always checking in with them. You know, if they're not getting the results they want, I'm constantly studying for them. I'm constantly, and that's what you need on your side, whatever you're struggling with your skin. You know, you don't need someone who's just going to be like, up the dosage, make it stronger, you know, that kind of way. It's coming at it from different angles and working with a professional, that's what their role should be.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Empowered Hormone Podcast. If you know a female who needs some empowerment, please forward, repost, tag or share, and let's get women talking.